But at this, worldly rich people, they are filthy rich, literally. Bill Gates of $40 billion personal asset. If you spend $1 million a day, just burn it, waste it, I don't care what you do with $1 million a day, it will take one year, it will take about $365 million. You haven't touched the first billion dollars yet. So it will take an average about 3 years to touch the first $1 billion. In other words, to use up all of his personal asset of $40 billion, it will take about 120 years. And let's make about 110 years. Am I making sense to you? That's beyond our comprehension. They might be filthy rich, but I'm proudly say I am holy rich because Jesus Christ in me. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a rich person. But how do you know you are rich? How do you know you're going to use that asset or not? You can be richer when we use this secret way, secret recipe, or secret method, return on investment in the kingdom of God. First thing we are going to look at is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. I think a Tucson summer is coming along. The air conditioning starts kicking in. After you open the Bible to the Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we will pray. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to know you. You snatched us away from the hands of Satan in one way to hell. Now, not only we are set free from the bondage of death and hell, you give us the opportunity to serve you and know you and make other people know you. It is a great privilege and honor to be a part of your master plan. Teach us today so that we may serve you with all our heart and mind and soul. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Being a servant of God is a special thing. First, okay, I mentioned about the return on investment. First blessing or the return on investment comes from while we serve God and His people, we get to know that God is willing to use us. Even though we are not much, God is using us. Let's make this clear. God is not using us because we are so special. God is using us because we are His children. To make it bluntly, God used Satan. Do you know? God used Satan in His master plan to make Himself known to all of us. So being used by God is nothing special. There's no qualification required other than being available. First blessing is realizing that God is willing to use us. Second blessing is while we're serving God, we know that those people whom we serve are blessed. Whether they know that we're helping them or not, that's between you and God, between me and God. We realize that they are blessed. Third thing comes along in the last moment when we get to heaven. When we see God faithfully on earth, and when we get to heaven, He says, His arms open wide, and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's all worth it then. So that's a trifold. 300% return on investment. You cannot beat that kind of investment. What is this stuff? Servant, here we learn from the Bible, it's not just any servant, it's not just any slave, it's a bond servant. Bond servant you find in Greek word is doulos or douloi, depends on the singular or plural. It means bond servant, that means in our own will, according to Deuteronomy chapter 15, let's say I'm a servant of Pam and Carl's family. And I hang around with them, but if I'm a Jewish person and they're a Jewish family, I've been with them for the last 6 years. By Jewish law, according to God's given to them, they have to set me free at 7th year. That's the time they have to let me go. Now, when they let me, before let me go, I can think about what do I want to stay here? My family's with them, and or should I just go out and have my own freedom? Let's say Pam and Carl treat me so well, and I love them, and I want to stay with them. And I go to Carl, hey, Master, I want to stay with you. I want to be your servant for the rest of my life. And the bottom line is I have to come to the Master with my own will. Then he take me to the doorpost of his home and put my ear, right side earlobe, and put the nail through it. Don't even think about it, Carl. It's just a picture. You are not going to do that on my ear. And then he put the gold earring. That's symbolizing I'm a bondservant in my own will that I'm going to serve this man. Then there's a two ways. All of a sudden, there's a two ways happening. His wish become my wish. No longer what I want is what I want. What he wants become my what I want. And he has the obligation to take care of my family, myself, rest of my life. See how it works? Let's put that thing in our picture. We were slaves before of Satan. He set us free. We came to God as a free man and woman. But we choose to stay and we choose to serve God, and he tells us, okay, then you're going to be my bondservant. He, in a way, he put the spiritual earrings on us and telling us that we are his bondservant. And our own free will, we come to him to serve him. And when what he wishes become our what we want. And then he had to take care of the rest of our eternal life. You follow me so far? That's the bondservant relationship with the master. So who can be this bondservant? Guess who's going to be? All of us. Anyone who came to the Lord and became a born-again Christian, all of us can be bondservant. See, some people think that it's special people, pastors, preachers. No, it's all of us. Since you open the Bible to the Mark chapter 10, verse 45, let's go there and take a look at it. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Underline, not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. He made an example for us to wash as washing his feet at the upper room discourse. See, he washed his disciples' feet. The slave who washed the people's feet are the lowest rank of a slave. He took the form of not only human form, he took the lowest position to serve those guys, including Judas. That's mind-boggling. I have a hard time understanding if I'm the one, if I was Jesus, I would have a hard time understanding. Now, should I wash this guy's feet or should I just burn him to a crisp? He's the one who's going to betray me. But Jesus is different. Not only full of mercy and grace, he wanted to give a last chance to the Judas. Repent. Even though he knew he's not going to do that. See, in the church, just about any size of congregation, in our case, because we are rather small, so we have a high rate. So volunteers for the church are averaging 10% or less. So 90% of congregation do not do anything for the church or for the body of Christ. They just come and go. And a lot of times they say, well, nobody reach out to me. Okay, you come in at the last moment, right before the teaching, and you leave right after teaching, nobody get to know you. And say during the fellowship time, say hello to one another. Yeah, how many of you guys remember each other's name now? I doubt it. It takes me a couple of times for me to remember people's name. See, a lot of people don't make an effort to know each other. And they complain that, they don't know me. Well, do you make an effort? Do I make an effort? We need to. There's a four important point of being a servant of God. Turn your Bible with me to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Tell you what, that page turning sound is so good. Chapter 6, verse 10. First point of being a servant of God is this is very important. Knowing the divine resource personally. Knowing the divine resource personally. Let's read verse 10 of chapter 6. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Do you know the difference between joy and happiness? Joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Happiness can happen with the money or power or whatever. But it only happens when something happens. When that happens, goes away, it stops. But joy is eternal in Christ Jesus. While we serve God, we know we have that joy in the Lord. We have to realize that we have nothing to offer to God. Let's not think that God needs to run the universe. God runs the universe just fine without us at the beginning. Even though He fully knew that we're going to cause trouble, He created us. That's the love of God. Turn with me to chapter Luke, verse 10. Chapter 9, verse 10. Luke chapter 9. Between 10 through 17, we find Jesus feeding 5,000 people. That's not including man and woman. You guys know this story. And Jesus asked the disciples, where can we find the bread for these people? And there are tons of people, 5,000 people plus. And Philip, who was real quick at his number, and he calculated, he pulled out his handheld computer palm, probably, and he calculated the numbers, and he said, oh, that will take more than a year wage. That's good, smart, but that doesn't give any answer. Now, Andrew, who was smart enough to con the kid to give up his lunch, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish head, he said, well, master, here is a 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. If he stopped there, it would be good. But he said, what this going to do for these people? What they forgot is whom they were talking to, Jesus. In God's work, serving God and working for the people, serving people, there's two things required. This is very important. God multiplies. Jesus, through the hands of God, through the hands of Jesus, all of a sudden that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish multiplied and feed all people. But did Jesus go out and hand out those bread and fish to the individual? No. Whom did He use? 12 disciples. So it means multiplication start at hands of Jesus. But distribution comes through disciples. That's us. So if we want to be used by God, we can be used by God by be available to him. We are the one who is going to distribute his asset, his property, his rich to the poor. You understand what I'm talking about? He's the one who is making it happen, and we are the one who is distributing his property. This is not necessarily only happening in the ministry, individual based too. We have to make ourselves available to each other. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You might say, and I might say to other, to God, send somebody. If God laid something in your heart as a burden, maybe God is speaking to you. And my suggestion is, don't dodge. Because God will follow you around. We cannot hide from him. See, another thing about this four point of being a servant of God is we have to know that human need is very dear. And we have to look at it compassionately. We cannot serve other people without having heart to serve those people. If we do that, it becomes business. God doesn't need a businessman to serve his people. We got to have a heart to serve those people. Third thing that we have to know is becoming a channel of God's mighty resource. When my daughter was around four, she tend to want help me. What 4 years old can do for the yard work? Not much. So we bought a little lawnmower, plastic lawnmower, heavy, you know that, making a lot of noise. So when I go out and cutting the weeds down, she walks around with this little lawnmower. She's helping me. Or when I wrap the present for my mother, and she wants to be part of it, in a way she gets in the way than actually helping me. But I choose to include her. So I tell her, you hold that thing. If you don't hold that thing, everything is going to fall apart. So she holds that thing down with all her heart. And we wrap that thing together. And guess what she said? We did it. Yeah, you did it. See, that's how our Father works with us. He chose to include us in his master plan. Does he need our help? No. Can he do without us? Yes. Angels are more faithful than we are. Let's face it. Those angels don't say no or say, not now, God, that kind of thing. But he chose to include us in his master plan. Let's look at another illustration. You guys all heard the Dead Sea, right, in Israel, and Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is a little bit smaller than Dead Sea. But Dead Sea is completely dead. There's no life inside. Why? Because the salt content is so high, no life can live inside. No wonder why it's called Dead Sea. And as a matter of fact, if you go into Dead Sea and you go inside, and you can float without anything. Literally float. However, Sea of Galilee is even small. It's full of life. What's the difference? They all get the same upstream water. Dead Sea take the upstream water. Does not give out anything. However, Sea of Galilee, it takes and gives, takes and gives. So if water is always fresh and full of life. A lot of fishermen making a living off that water, sea. You already know what I'm going to say. If you continue to take and take and take from the Word of God and do not give out, I have to be careful with what I'm going to say, you become spiritual gluttony. We don't want to do that. We want to exercise our spiritual muscle by serving Him with all our heart, mind, and soul, in serving his people. fourth element of this being a servant of God is God is the only one who gets glorified. No one else. As we all know, we have nothing to offer to Him except availability. When God calls, He provides. He equips. There's one thing we live by in Calvary Chapel area, where God provides, and God leads, God provides. If you notice, we don't talk about the money. Do we need money? Yeah, you can bet on it to run the church. But do we talk about money? No. There's a box, and we stop there. If He doesn't provide, we know that it's time to quit. Simple as that. God is the one who provides. So all we have to do is just know that, be available, and be used by God. He will equip us. And in turn, we have to bring all the glory to Him. We can say, we did it. We have to say, He did it. Let's make a few examples. How can we serve God? How about this? A lot of times, we complain that people in the church don't know me. I already talked about that. What about people who are sick and hospitalized or death in the family? As a matter of fact, one of our fellowship, a person in our fellowship had a death in the family. My mother and father both died in one day apart. Did we help them? Yes. Can you help those people who are hospitalized or sick or have a death in the family? Can you cook a meal? Ladies, you can do that. I mean, some of the guys can do that, except me. My wife said I have a hard time boiling water. Yeah, that's true. That's the reaching out. How about extending welcome to those whom you haven't seen before? When you come into church, sit down. It's my own wall. Put the wall around. I don't know you. Instead of that, why not go over to somebody whom you never met before? Introduce yourself. Welcome them. Is that the hostess and the usher's job only? It's yes, their job. But it also is your job too. Welcome them. Welcome each other. Yesterday, my wife and I went to the Calvary Tucson to hold a lot of stuff to the Calvary for the pastors' conference. As you know, I'm not exactly a solo person. A friend of mine told me I'm solo as World War II. I pretty much let them know what I'm thinking. That's sometimes good, sometimes bad. I recruit a few guys. We're holding a bunch of stuff into the run room. These people standing in the middle of the foyer, not getting out of the way. It's not like we're carrying a piece of paper. I mean, carrying the things, big size things. I thought, you just heard great teaching from your pastor. Why don't you practice what you just learned? Christianity does not stop at what we learn from the church. Christianity actually works when we practice what we know. Christian means Christ-like. Christ didn't tell people to do it, and He sat back and do nothing. See that there's a difference between coach and the leader. The leader, definition of leader, is the one who leads by example. Coach can say, go over there. Whenever we see these professional football games, there's 50,000 people, all armchair quarterbacks. They know what to do with the game, better than quarterback or the coach himself. There are two and two guys who desperately need rest and running around doing their best, and there's 50,000 people telling them what to do and stuffing their face with a hot dog. Now, the difference, those who actually work are the ones who get the job done. And we can tell other people what to do easily. But when we start doing it, we learn more while we're doing it. Some of you might say, well, I don't want to do that. I know it sounds like a condemnation tonight, to this morning, but it is not. In your heart you feel something, it's not a condemnation, because God does not give a condemnation. God gives conviction. People tend to say, well, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do this. What I want is different than what you suggest, what you guys need. Jesus took the lowest form. He took the lowest rank of slave. If we want to be like Jesus, we should do the same thing. Am I begging for more volunteers for the church? No. I'm telling you what you can get out from the blessing from God. You don't have to serve in this church. Serve in the kingdom of God. Do something for God and for His people. Because if we don't do that, we are missing a lot of things. First John chapter 5, please. I can just picture that you guys as you guys are living. Oh, he hammered me so bad. I usually don't do this kind of hammering, but sometimes it's necessary. Verse 1, chapter 5. Whoever believes in Jesus, Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this, we know that we love children of God, and when we love God and keep His commandment. When we love each other and serve one another, other people want to join us. That's the best way to evangelize. More than the testimony of our own word, let them see the love of God in us. How are we going to do that? We have to know the commandment of God. We have to know the Word of God. I suggest you to stay in the Word every day. Let that be daily nutrition in your spiritual life. That way, when God speaks to us, we'll know. In Psalm 32:8, I'm going to kind of loosely paraphrase this. He will guide us by His eyes. Some of us have been living with a husband as a husband and wife for a long time, so we kind of know each other's thought. And when you work together with somebody for a long time, we can kind of look at each other and we pretty much read out each other's thought, right? And be guided by each other's eyes. If we get to know Jesus, if we get to know God very well through His Word, we can be guided by His eyes. For those who go through the depression, I have a sure cure for the depression. You want to hear it? Whether you want to hear it or not, I'm going to tell you anyway. Here's the three step. Sure cure for the depression. Number one, serve others. Number two, help others. Number three, look for where to find, take care of others. Did you notice I didn't say anything about you or me? All of a sudden, the one whom we think important is out. The reason why we get depressed in most cases is because the things is not going the way we want. We're thinking about past. We think about future. It may not go the way we want, and we feel sorry for ourselves. That's most often we get depressed. But if we don't focus on our problem, focus on other people, focus on God, all of a sudden our problem is no longer a big deal. I heard this story, I quote it a little bit different. If you can get up in the morning with your own feet, you're better than 8 million people around the world. So we're in better shape. And if you have a checking account and a savings account and spare change in the dish, you're better than 92% of the world population, especially in America. We might say, well, I don't have enough money, I have to go live paycheck to paycheck. Well, join the club. That's the majority of people, especially when the gas price goes up and up every day. We are in high-ranked rich people in around the world, to compare with around the people. So we are well-blessed by God. If we compare ourselves with ourselves, we'll be depressed. But if we compare ourselves with other people and try to help other people, take our eyes off from ourselves and help other people, depression will be gone. I do not care for this person, John F. Kennedy. Knowing his personality, I do not care for him, but his inaugural speech was famous. You all know. But I revised it a little bit. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, do not ask church what the church can do for you, but ask yourself what you can do for the church. There was a co-worker in my office, she's still. She asked me, she said that she's a Christian because she came to the Calvary Chapel a few times. Just like a lot of Americans says. That's fine. She asked me what Calvary Chapel can do for her. As a non-believer, that's a reasonable question. But as a believer, ask yourself what you can do for the body of Christ. In conclusion, I want to make this clear to you guys. I do not condemn you. God does not condemn you. I'm simply letting you know that how much blessing you are missing, I am missing by not serving God, not serving the body of Christ. If you haven't served God with all your heart and mind, soul, and body, you're missing a lot of blessing. And for those who choose to not to listen to what the Holy Spirit just spoke to you, I have this question to ask you. Why? What's the reason you choose not to serve God? You answer to yourself. Let's stand up and pray. You see, we don't have to be the minister or the pastor to serve the body. How many times do we go to church potluck? The last moment we walk in, as soon as we finish eating, we bail out. So I don't have to clean it. A lot of people do that. Why not stay behind and help them to clean? Taking our eyes off from ourselves and helping others. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your conviction. I hope that my brothers and sisters are not condemned but convicted, so that they may start to serve you and worship you and serve the body of Christ, and that so that they may be blessed. While your head's bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to ask you